You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm KMUN News Director Katie Frankowitz, and it's Tuesday, April 29th. Oregon's Department of Emergency Management says the Trump administration's decision to abruptly cancel a hazard mitigation grant program will, quote, significantly impact communities across the state. KLCC's Tiffany Eckert reports.
OEM says the loss of the Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities, or BRIC, program will seriously impede Oregon's ability to prepare for disasters. Stephen Richardson is Hazard Mitigation Section Manager. He says the state was caught flat-footed on April 4th when the BRIC program was unexpectedly canceled.
Without this funding, a lot of requirements for states to prepare for disasters are becoming unfunded mandates, essentially, because the smaller communities and counties just can't support those.
In terms of money, the state will lose a federal share of $140 million. Also lost are local matching funds of $90 million and $8 million in sunk costs or project expenditures that have already been made and cannot be recovered. Tiffany Eckert reporting.
KMUN has reported how the loss of the BRIC grant program is already impacting hospital expansion plans in Astoria. You can read those stories at kmun.org/news. A lawsuit filed in federal court in Oregon aims to stop immigration enforcement at places of worship, schools, and other sensitive locations. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Conrad Wilson reports.
A coalition of organized labor and religious groups from Oregon, Florida, and California filed the lawsuit. It's the first legal action that seeks to clarify a longstanding policy about sensitive locations. According to the lawsuit, for at least the past three decades, federal authorities have attempted to enforce immigration laws away from certain areas. That allowed people who feared being deported to access necessities, such as medical care. The Trump administration ended that policy in January. Officials with the Department of Homeland Security did not respond to a request for comment. The lawsuit comes amid President Donald Trump's efforts to ramp up deportations. His administration has also pushed legal boundaries when it comes to immigration enforcement. I'm Conrad Wilson in Portland.
Last year, it looked like Oregon could possibly see two offshore wind energy developments move forward off the state's south coast. But then the Biden administration canceled an auction of the sites amid mounting opposition from tribes, commercial fishermen, and other groups. Developers were also backing out, and Oregon Governor Tina Kotek was calling for a pause to the process. Then, in January, one of President Donald Trump's early executive orders targeted further development of offshore wind energy projects, halting new leases in federal waters. The future of this type of energy is now in flux, but Oregon is still pushing ahead on a roadmap to guide how the state will handle offshore wind energy development in the future.
But in a way, this is the best time to be planning. It's the best time to be taking stock of ourselves and our policies and our interests and making sure that we have identified the path that we would want to travel if and when this comes back again.
That's Jeff Burright, the Offshore Wind Energy Roadmap Coordinator with the Oregon Department of Land Conservation and Development. The roadmap process came out of a bill passed by the Oregon legislature last year. While the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, or BOEM, oversaw the original leasing process from identifying sites to selecting potential bidders, the state of Oregon also had a key role to play, and still does. Last week, Burright and other representatives with the state traveled to Seaside in Clatsop County to answer questions and gather information about what Oregonians want to see for offshore wind energy development, even though it is unlikely that another leasing process will be in front of the state anytime soon. But Burright says,
the other fact of it is that Oregon does have a world-class resource of wind offshore that is an opportunity if we can find a way to grasp it in a way that meets our policies and our interests of our communities.
Scott McMullen, a lifelong commercial fisherman and the chairman for the Oregon Fishermen's Cable Committee based in Astoria, sits on a state roundtable tasked with helping to develop the roadmap. He says that Oregon has a chance now to see how policies, changing technologies, and the offshore infrastructure play out in other areas of the country where wind energy projects are farther along. And the Department of Land Conservation and Development will be advocating for even more time on the roadmap process itself. With the change in direction at the federal level and general uncertainty around resources and funding, Burright says they're going to ask the legislature to extend the time available to use funds that have already been allocated for the roadmap work. To read more about this story, go to kmun.org/news. Today is the last day to register to vote in next month's Oregon special elections. All 36 Oregon counties have an election with ballots due May 20th. Local races such as school board or community college seats are up for grabs. And today is the final opportunity to either register to vote or update your registration before ballots are mailed. Ballots will start going out to all Oregon voters on Wednesday. To register to vote or check your registration or other information, head to oregonvotes.gov/myvote. If you're traveling near the Fort Columbia Tunnel in Pacific County, Washington today, plan ahead and expect delays. The tunnel is located on US 101 just east of Chinook. Today, maintenance crews with the Washington State Department of Transportation will be inspecting and repairing the tunnel. The state says this annual maintenance and inspection work is important for keeping the tunnel open and safe for travelers, and also extends the tunnel's lifespan. At least one lane will be open at a time, with flaggers directing traffic in both directions from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. During the lane closures, crews will clean and coat exposed rebar and repair the deck. This information comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. For weather today in the lower Columbia River region, rain possible this morning, cloudy going into the noon hour, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with highs in the mid-50s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the low 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs near 60. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with lows in the low 40s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, send us an email at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org. That's it for today. We'll see you tomorrow.